Hello, this is Esperanza Ray. Welcome to New Consciousness, New World at its new time. Originally, we were having a radio show in an hour prior to this one. We were having the show on Mondays at 8 o'clock. However, because of personal situations and also because of time demands, we've changed it now for 9 o'clock, and it's one week yes and 1 week no. So it's the second and fourth week of the month now, again at 9 o'clock p.m. and New Consciousness, New World. My name is Esperanza Ray, again, and I've been with BBS for a little while. We're going to be having a guest today in our show, but first let me talk to you a little bit about, especially for those of you who might be joining us for the first time today. I wrote a book called Hope Reigns Beyond 2012, The Real Secret of the End of Times and Ascension into the Fifth Dimension of Terra, which is our planet Earth. That's what the hierarchies of light basically called it, and that's what I called it in my book. And basically, Terra depicts the time frame from when we ascend into the fifth dimension to distinguish between one level of consciousness and the other. Right now we're at fourth dimensional consciousness, getting very close to transitioning to the fifth dimension within the next few years. Yeah, very interesting, because it's going to be just a few years. And, you know, a lot of people think it's the end of the world, but it's not the end of the world. It's the end of time and the world as we know it, but it's definitely not the end of the world. You know, it's really sad, because the level of ignorance that exists out there, there are people who have no clue, first of all, that anything is going to change. And then there are those people who have a clue, but they're totally misinformed by thinking it's the end of the world and allowing themselves to go haywire instead of transforming their lives and transforming themselves and growing spiritually as beings of light that we are, and divine beings made in the image of God.
I'm here.
So it really saddens me when I see things on television or on the internet or in other media where people are, you know, they think they have to sleep with all their neighbors because it's the end of the world, so they want to, you know, enjoy it and just basically go crazy and do the wildest things possible, things that they would normally not do, but now they can do them because they're going to be dead in a few years. You would think you would want to get your house straightened out instead, and your mind ready for a new level of existence, but no, some people still think that it, you know, they're going to accomplish more by just going bananas. So to each their own. But my goal is to help us grow, and I believe our guest is already on. Don?
Yes, I am here. I'm sorry I'm a little late. I forgive me to your audience.
That's pleasure. All right. That's all right. You know, I had to call in today because Doug was not aware of the change in time. So we were kind of running on that, and then I mentioned that I had a guest, and when I told him it was you, it was really interesting because, you know,
we don't do interviews.
He was not aware.
We rarely do interviews. We just don't do them because we're just too busy, and, you know, our lives are not very attractive to us as far as what we've done, because we've done it and we already know it, and it's not that interesting when you've been through it. We'd rather hear other stories, so we rarely do interviews. But yeah, we have our own unique perspective on things over the years, and we've come to a few new conclusions.
Yes, I know.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Esperanza. You know, I've heard a lot of wonderful things about you and your show, and my brother's told me about you, and he loves communicating with you. So I'm already endeared to you. So, again, it's a pleasure. Thank you for welcoming me.
Well, I'm endeared to you because you guys go out of your way to make your hosts feel very comfortable. That's right, everyone. Don and Doug, You're twin brothers or are you triplets?
We are.
Let's start there.
We're twins. Yeah. We're fraternal.
We're twins. Okay, I know I had somewhere in the back of my mind triplets, but I was like, I don't think so. I think they're just twins.
Yep.
So basically, you run the business side, and he runs the technical side of BBS Radio.
No. I'm actually more the technician. We both pretty much have our parts. We both handle the business aspects of it, and we both handle the technical aspects of it. But when it comes down to the really fine aspects of the technical issues, that I would usually handle those. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And the programming for your website and everything that you guys do, your radio, that's done also in together, right?
Oh yeah, we collaborate on everything. We're working together.
Yeah.
Hand and mouth continuously throughout the day.
Now I'm trying to keep the audience in suspense as to why you are on our show. So let's keep them in suspense a little bit more. Can you start by telling us a little bit as to why you changed? There was a major change in your life, and how that led you into the path of having a spiritual network that promotes spiritual basically radio shows that promote spirituality and enlightenment and consciousness. What changed your life? What point in your life, or what happened, I should say, at some point in your life that made you change the path that you were on and go into this one?
Well, it was pretty sudden. But leading up to the change, I'd done a lot of prayer. My world was a little topsy-turvy at the time, and I was working with my family, and things were very stressful. And, I'd continually prayed my heart for something new, changes. And I'd been working hard one day, and I decided to drive home a little later in the evening, and I was driving to the place we were staying, and oddly enough, about a mile from the place we were staying, we'd rented a big home and put the business in there, and we were in Texas at the time. And I pulled over on the side of the road, and I felt something strange. I just sat there in the car over on the side of the road. And I don't know why I pulled over, really. I just felt this urge to pull over. I'd never done it before. I'd been driving the road for a while, but I pulled over, sat there in my car kind of quietly, and strangely enough, some white cloud. Literally, it's clear out. It's fairly clear. It's night, but it's clear out. And there's this cloud. A white cloud comes down through the top of my car slowly. So all of a sudden, I'm looking up, and it's like a thick whiteness above your car. And you're looking at it descend. You can actually see this whiteness descending. And then it enveloped my head, my eyes. I couldn't see anything then at that point. To talk a few minutes, and I'm looking out at this pure white. I can't see anything, and I'm looking down at my hands. I can still see my hands as I'm looking down, and it was really weird. Peculiar. This is why, I know every sensation. I remember this experience vividly because it was just bizarre. It wasn't just the bizarreness of it that made such an extreme impression on me, but I was looking down, and eventually the whiteness enveloped my hand, and I put it out in front of me. I couldn't see anything. And then I had a really, an overwhelming kind of a feeling of love. It was immense. It encompassed me. I felt like everything in the world was going to be right. It's going to be okay. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, all over me. It was a really profound feeling of love. And that everything was going to work out. I was going to get my wish, wishes and finance, but I was going to get my wishes. I felt like things were going to work out, that somehow things were going to be all right, that I needn't worry. And I was really loved, but it was more than that. There was something else. It was, because I was so conscious at the moment, not like hyper conscious or super conscious, like everybody says, I could feel everything and everyone in an instant. No, that's not what it was at all. Nothing like that. But as the the whole sensation started to leave me. It left the same way it came. It kind of rose up through the vehicle. Okay, this cloud, literally a cloud of whiteness. I always thought, and this is because a psychic tried to tell me what it was all about later on, years later. Someone kind of said, hey, you had an experience, and, you know, this is what it was, and it was Archangel Michael. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. I honestly tend to think it was something from off world. It was an alien presence. I don't know if it was angelic. Honestly, I really don't know. You tend to think it would be, but I couldn't say that for sure. And I would tend to more think it was off world only based on my then subsequent experiences, which are pretty radical. Not many, a few, but they're pretty radical experiences. So they led me to the conclusion that, yeah, we are being visited. There are many kinds, probably. Most of them, I would guess, are not unfriendly, but more friendly. They stay away, or they stay out of others' affairs. They help when they can. They don't have the drive to rule. But there's those kinds, I'm sure. I don't know if I've never been aware of them. They've never jumped into my space. The only things that have jumped into my space showed me no feeling, no compassion at all. I mean, absolutely nothing. Or a sense of, you know, well, love. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Let's back up a little bit, because you're giving a lot of information and I'm not getting the story clear. I don't know about our readers.
Yeah, that.
So let's just back up a little.
Okay.
And I guess what I would ask is, it sounds from what you just mentioned that there was more than one experience. Is that the case?
There was, but that was the first. That was my first major experience in that vehicle in Texas.
Okay, and you were by yourself in your car?
I was by myself in Simonton, Texas, in my vehicle, correct.
Okay. So, that must have been a little freaky. And when you're scared and, well, not, maybe you weren't scared because you felt everything was okay. You felt maybe very balanced and very peaceful.
I did. After that, I did. I felt remarkably calm, remarkably serene, at peace, yeah. For a while, of course, it fades and you're back to reality. But yeah.
Now, when was your next experience with this type of similar situation, or was it the situation was completely different? Your first experience was basically a cloud that came down through the, basically, it basically sounds like it just went right through the roof of your car, almost as if physical matter was not an obstacle.
Well, like it was a cloud. Like it was vapor.
Yeah. Well,
white vapor of such
clouds don't come inside of cars.
True. I know. That's the oddity, isn't it? And the white was so white. I mean, we're talking, it was really bizarre. Yeah. Intense.
I mean, I don't know about fog. If you open up the window, I don't even know if fog comes through. Having lived for a little while in Long Beach, about a year or so, there was a time I was living in a tall building, and we had fog, and the fog covered the whole area. It was coming in from the ocean,
and it
surrounded the building, and it was kind of surreal, because you almost felt like it was going to come into the, but it's not going to come in through the window. That's why I was asking. So this was not your average cloud, obviously, and you were talking about whiteness and light. Was it like luminous?
No, just white.
No,
strictly
it's just
white. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so
I
it
mean
wasn't
white,
luminous,
white.
And it wasn't fluorescent light, right? It was
no.
Just a regular white cloud.
Yep. It was just be like whiteness, okay. Almost like whiteness. But I'm giving you an example of a cloud because you could actually see this whiteness descend. It was, I mean, yeah. I don't know how to describe it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it better than that.
So when it surrounded your head and your face, you were not able to see beyond the cloud.
No, I wasn't able to see anything. And I was there for a while. It must have been I forget, about, oh, an hour and a half I'd been there.
Surrounded with this, right. This cloud.
Like I was there.
Wow,
like
amazing.
It was afternoon, later afternoon, a little light out, and by the time it was when it receded, it was black. It was dark out.
Okay. So it was during the day then that you saw it?
Yes. Well, late afternoon, correct.
And it was just covering you for approximately a period of 1 hour.
I felt like it was covering me for maybe 5 minutes.
So time really passed.
It changed a bit, yeah. It could have been that just that time of the day, the sun just set. I mean, it was getting pretty late, so, I mean, that...
Now, at any point in time, did you feel you were not in your vehicle?
No. No.
You felt...
I felt like I was
you.
There the whole time. I remember everything being there. It felt like just a little bit of time.
But you could not see. You could
correct.
Not see anything within your vehicle either.
That's correct.
That's interesting. Yeah. So it is possible, contrary to what you experienced or you felt, it is possible that you were not necessarily in your car the whole time, especially if it was an hour time.
It's possible, yes. It's possible. Correct.
The only reason I say that, Don, is usually the astronauts talk about this, that if we were in a spaceship going around the Earth, we would be aging much slower than if we, you know, the people on the ground. And the further away from the Earth, the slower we would be experiencing what we consider time and space.
Right.
However, the closer we are in the Earth, then the faster time space move. So it would make sense if you were taken, the time seemed like 5 minutes, but in reality it had been a large amount of time, which a big chunk of time would be an hour or more.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. Now, I'm not trying to say that you were abducted or anything like that, but it seemed that I get the impression, and maybe the psychic that talked to you about it mentioned this already, but I get the impression that you were being, your vibration was being honed in or balanced so that maybe in the future you could receive the experiences that you were about to receive. Not only that, but possibly to prepare you for the work that you're currently doing, because you and your brother are basically single-handedly doing a wonderful job with this BBS radio. And I'd like also for you to share with our audience, because they don't have the opportunity to talk to you guys. And I wanted you to mention the fact that you have these incredible plans to create also a web television show. So I wanted you to touch just a little bit on that, because that's kind of, I get the impression that this experience has prepared you to take the steps that you needed to take to do the work that you're currently doing, because you really are, if you think about it, you and Doug are helping so many spiritual people to get their messages out there through your network.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the show, because I get so excited when I hear you guys talk about it.
Well, we're actually going to jump into now video and have our own live talk radio network at bbsradio.tv. We have all the software, the equipment, the hardware and the cameras and the tie-ins, and we beta tested it and it worked. So now we got to get good with it, of course. I mean, we're not professionals with the softwares that we're using and the tie-ins to the hardware and so on. But we'll get better and better at it. But we are going to be launching in mid-January, where we're going to be remotely handling live video broadcast, just exactly like we would do with the audio, where we would contact the host, the guests. They would be not just only doing audio, but they'd be doing video. That video broadcast would go out live at bbsradio.tv. The audio broadcast would go live over bbsradio.com. And then they would have an archive of both. So it's really a nice little companion, which is then split. In other words, for, you know, the host can easily add video, but it's split in the way that it is a separate function. It can be archived, manipulated, and broadcast completely separately with or without the involvement of the radio station, which is really nice. So a lot of our programs will be, you know, they'll be able to, on station two anyways, opt in to do a video or not. It just depends on whether they want to do video, but they can do it seamlessly. And it's just a wonderful new dimension, because we don't see anything out there in the TV networks where you're there doing live talk TV. It's always canned or after the fact, or they want to polish it and edit it and make it all sound groovy and great so they can make everybody look all great and there's no mistakes and all this polish. And I think what we're going to give them for a long time is going to be a new kind of TV network that makes a bunch of mistakes. They're going to see those mistakes live. The bloopers are going to come at them live, continuously, for quite some time. And we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. The people are going to have a lot of fun. They're going to see what it takes to create a TV network and all the problems that will ensue. And they will ensue, because there's a lot of moving parts to this. But we're excited. We're going to be starting off mid-January. We're going to formally launch it. Right now, people can go and watch a three-hour program every Sunday at 5 p.m. Pacific on Station 2 with Dr. Agnew. It's X Squared Radio. He's agreed to start the role with us on live talk TV. And so every Sunday you can watch that, and we're going to be adding a few more programs. We're not mentioning this on the website or emailing anybody or letting anybody know. So if you're not hearing it here, then you're just not going to know. Okay, because this is really all beta fun for the next month. But if people want to kind of see what we're doing, they can do so on Sundays again in the evening. And there'll be a lot more of it, because we have about eight more hosts that are looking to do live interactive talk TV. And so when people, when I mean live and interactive, then that means that they can have not only themselves as a host and maybe a co-host, but they can be taking video callers. So if somebody's on Skype and wants to call in and they want to join into the video program and they have their video on and their internet sharp and we've gauged the preview, we can say, yep, we'll add them in. So it can be fully interactive, remotely done, just like you would be in a studio and having all the people at your beck and call doing what needs to be done.
Right. Yeah, it sounds wonderful. So that I'm really looking forward to in the near future being able to be a part of that. That would definitely be very interesting. The other thing that I find, that's one of the reasons I wanted to mention it to our audience, is the fact that we have so much television, but I find that in television, everything is getting more and more violent. Everything is about murders, terror, sacrifices, torture. It's just, and the foul language, the lack of spirituality. There are some shows out there that are really beautiful and have some level of spirituality. Overall, the great majority, I would say 75 or 80 or 90%, does not contain any of that. So to be able to have a network that caters to, you know, spirituality in a television level is going to be, I think, very positive, not just for the hosts, but also for the audience, because they will be able to see, you know, what's going on and not just listen to it.
That's right,
and,
live.
You know,
they can see it
live.
Most of
us are visual, so it helps.
It's going to be fun. We're excited. We're excited.
Yeah.
You know, because we're not all about polish and professionalism and building a website that looks like some expert team built it. And then because then we have to pass off all that off to our constituents and hosts and advertisers and sponsors. We don't want to do that. We like doing what we're doing in the New Age movement, like you say, with spiritual programming, defining programming that changes people's lives, the way they think, and where everybody can harmonize and get along. Most of our hosts don't agree with each other. You don't see a lot. I mean, you'd find that most of them, if they got in a room, they'd be arguing. But, you know, those hosts, let me say, are hosts that actually, even though they might disagree, they don't harbor a lot of judgments. They harbor more love. A lot of our hosts are very conscious driven. So I really like that. I'm not saying about all of our hosts, folks. That'd be ridiculous. But most of them. And most of our programming is from hosts that truly, truly love what they're doing and want to make a difference. Again, not all, but most of our programming. These people are sincere, and they love humanity, and they want to make a difference, and they love what they do. So, that's the kind of network I want to continue to build, and we're going to branch it out into TV as fast as we can. So next year, 2013, is going to be a huge year for us, huge, because we got a lot more rolling out. We will be rolling out with our Drupal content-managed website. We will be rolling out with not only the content-managed website, but in a completely redone archiving system and hosting system. There's a lot of big, big changes coming next year, and we'll roll them out.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go back because the purpose of this interview is about your extraterrestrial, the existence of extraterrestrials, and you mentioned something very interesting. So you've actually had more than one experience. How many experiences would you say you had altogether?
A dozen.
So can you tell us about some?
Maybe just
of
a dozen, maybe like 10 or 12.
10 or 12, okay. And at any point during this process, you've actually seen physical extraterrestrials and spaceships?
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, tell us about it. Don't just say yeah. You're leaving everybody hungry here.
Well, this was a time when, right after that, we'd moved from the Simonton area to Houston, the Woodlands area, and I was doing a lot of work there, and we'd bought a place around a lake, and whenever I'd, go for a walk, I'd walk around the lake, and I was doing a lot of meditating at the time, a lot of soul searching. And, as I'd walk my dog about for a half an hour a day, I'd walk him around the lake, and I saw some strange things. I mean, strange things want to make themselves known to me. It sounds so crazy, I don't even want to say it, but it's the truth. One day I walked around the lake, and what I saw was some guy floating out of the sky, right down. He had perpendicular to the ground. So his feet and his body was coming down. No, not standing up, like he was laying down on a pad coming down, like he was laying on a table, and he was coming down that way. But could see was him. So he was like laid out, sprawled out, like he was laying on the ground and rising with his feet and his hands in the same position or same level. Was that horizontal? Mm-hmm. So,
right.
He was coming out of the sky, and he had a green jump, not that high. I mean, when I noticed him, he was like 3 feet above me coming down, okay? Because I was just looking at him. He's about 3-4 feet above me coming down, floating down out of the sky, short, dark hair, green jumpsuit, large eyes. Not large isn't huge, but a little larger than ours. Not much.
Okay.
Pug nose had a pug nose.
Not the eyes that they depict from the grave,
almost,
right?
Almost human looking. Almost human. I mean, I would say human, except for a little larger eyes. Just a little larger eyes.
Okay.
Pug nose, short dark hair, green jumpsuit.
What would you say their height was exactly?
I thought it more like 5'6".
Well, okay, that's an average human, give or take.
A little shorter, maybe?
A little bit shorter than the average human.
Yeah.
I don't know, the average human might be 5'10".
Yeah, didn't say a word. I looked right at him as he was coming down. In fact, I stared him right in the eye. It freaked me out. It was so strange. When you're in a position of something so strange, you don't really know what to make of it. It's almost like you move on Yeah, it's surreal. It's like you don't even, you're moving on automation pilot. So I'm looking at this thing. I'm staring him right in the eyes, right in the eyes. I mean, I'm 1 inch from this thing's face because it's sitting there right level. Its face is level with me, but its legs are in the back, of course, because remember, it's laying down, or it looks like it is. But it's up in the air, just a little above my head. And I walked under him. And as I walked under him, he's floating above me. He moved his head and kept staring at me, moving his head as I was walking under him. And I got to tell you, this, you know, I never spoke to him. I didn't get any mental impressions, not a word, not a voice, nothing.
I'm willing to bet that whatever the being was just as caught up and confused as you were, probably.
I don't know. I have no idea. It was the strangest darn thing I'd experienced. That, I mean, out of all of them, I could tell you other experience, but that was really the strangest. It truly was.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And the interesting thing is that you walked underneath.
I walked the whole length of his body. I walked underneath him. I just kept walking, and I was going past his stomach, looking up at his stomach, past his pants and his crotch, and all the way down to the legs, to the feet. Yeah. And which was right above me, floating above me.
And it never came further down than 3 feet.
Never came further down, correct. Just above my head.
Did you just keep going afterwards and just continue your movement?
It was really slow. I kept looking back and up, and then I promise you I kept walking without looking back. Yeah.
Well, I would don't blame you because being by yourself.
I don't know why. No, I didn't. I would have, you know, as I think about it these days, I should have turned around and said, hey, what are you doing? Who are you? What's going on? What the heck? You know, but I didn't.
Or at least raised your hand and said hi.
Anything.
You know?
Anything. Just even to have raised my hand to try to touch, I didn't, you see. So.
Well, I can understand, too, though, that you would be a little bit, you know, put back. Because you're seeing something that we're not used to seeing on a daily basis.
Yeah, totally.
And it has to be a very big shock to your system to be in the presence of something like that.
But see,
which defies all nature, and not only that, but is being denied by the governments.
Yeah.
Some governments, not all of them, but it's being denied by some of the governments, like the our government.
Yeah,
so
but only people that deny it these days or don't know are those just, they're truly ignorant of it. They truly don't know. You know, and there are a few people left that truly don't know that we're being visited continuously. But, you know, that'll change, I'm
sure.
Well,
there's also the part there. There's also the part about the cover-up, so which is changing a lot.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I was listening to the one of the Thrive conference calls, because I've joined the Thrive movement, and they have a documentary out which is 2 hours and 12 minutes, and it's very powerful. But they were talking about how Germany has admitted about the chemtrails. Are you familiar with what the chemtrails are?
Oh yeah. I've done a little bit of research on that subject, sure.
And California, not too long ago, as a matter of fact, was going, well, we all are going through it. Most people just don't know about it. But they were able to actually, after the chemtrails were affecting certain parts of Northern California, when it reached a certain town, thanks to the way of organizing themselves through the help of the Thrive movement, they were able to actually stop the process. This was a process that had been started during the time frame of Bush's presidency, and it was supposed to go on for 15 years, and they were able to stop it, and so that's being investigated now. But Germany has actually admitted that they have conducted that kind of experiments on their population. So, you know, I don't think it will be too long before it's widely known, although a lot of people are still very ignorant, because in order to find this information as well as extraterrestrial information, you have to be searching for it. It may not pop up in your, well, in my computer it pops up by itself, but but most people don't have that gift. So, and what would you say? Okay, so that was one of your other experiences. Tell us another experience where you've actually had physical a view of extraterrestrials?
Well, about a couple weeks later, I was walking around, and same lake. And I wanted to be I wanted to know what was going on and why that had occurred. Okay, so I'd meditated about it. I'd asked for answers. Mm-hmm. I walked around the lake and I looked up, and it was it was clear, really clear. And I said, "You got to." I literally said it out loud. Looked up. I said, "I want you to show me." I mean, I know you don't. I don't believe in them doing tricks, but you don't leave somebody hanging with someone. Something like occurred to me. And not provide answers. And I thought, if they're the type of beings like us, they would provide answers willingly. And so I got them. I mean, I asked, "Are you from off world? Can you show me your ship?" And they did. What was really strange is when I was looking, it was crystal clear. Then clouds moved in and filled the whole area. The clouds were fairly low. They looked like they were just above the tree line. Thick clouds, like we're talking dark. And then a hole would open up, and it would be a triangle. And I could see right through the clouds, and I'd see all the stars cleared I'd ever seen. And then I which was really odd. I'd say, do another shape. Can you do a circle? Boom, circle. Do a square. Did a square. You see, I didn't see a ship. I didn't see any physical ship at all. But I did see clouds move in, blanket the whole area where you couldn't see anything. And then holes would open up just above my head, right above my head, in different shapes. It was strange. It was strange because you knew you were dealing. I mean, you knew you were dealing with a responsive and interactive intelligence that was off world. I knew it. And
now,
you could feel it.
Now,
to
you
the
say
core.
Something very interesting. You meditated, right?
Right.
And you asked to see. So in a way, through your meditation, you were in communication with these beings.
I believe that's one way to do it, yes.
Yes.
Seemed to work for me.
And not only that, you were also in communication with them telepathically when you were in the forest and you saw this cloud come down and when you were asking them to change shapes.
You broke up a bit there.
I said you were in communication with them when you were actually in the forest or by the lake.
Right.
And you saw that they were, making shapes when you were asking them to
sure,
do this or
sure,
to do that.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I had about five different experiences around that lake. That was one. Another one was within maybe 4 or 5 days. I walked by and there was this clearing and I kept hearing this click, 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 click. And I stopped as I was walking, and I moved my head just ever so slightly, and then I heard it really loud. Click. I mean, the weirdest click. It wasn't click, click, click. Honestly, it wasn't. I can't even imitate the sound. It was like the high-pitched, fast clicking. I can't repeat. But anyways, so I'll just, for sake of argument, go click, 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 click. So I'm hearing this, and then I moved my head, and I didn't hear it. I thought, oh, my God. So I that's strange. When you hear something, you move your head, you don't hear it, that weirds you out enough that you'll stand there and you'll try to pick up that sound again. That's what I did. I
right.
moved my head and
right.
I find, and I moved my head a little bit and I couldn't hear it here. And then I hit the right spot and then boom, I could hear it. And then I moved my head and I didn't hear it. And then I moved a little bit. And I mean, loud, loud, like somebody's trying to hit me with a sound something from a distance. But it was aimed into a clearing, a little wooded area, a little clearing. That kind of led off into the woods. Anyways, but there's a little clearing before there. And so I walked over to the clearing. And, I mean, I couldn't hear anything. But as soon as I angled my head towards the clearing, same thing, click, 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 click. So I continued to walk towards the clearing. And then when I got into this, like, the circle area, I started to get... If you ever feel lightheaded and you go to put your foot down and you feel like you're so light that your foot doesn't go down, doesn't
mm-hmm.
quite go
right.
down, you're kind of losing balance, like maybe when you have bad earaches or something and you're kind of a little losing balance, that's how I felt. But it was extreme. Like I felt like I was rising and lowering at the same time and I was in this motion sickness. It was a fun experience. It made me kind of feel not really nauseous, but God, I don't even know how to explain it. Like... Oh, it, like weightless, but not quite completely weightless. Okay. And then when I walked outside, like I would see, like when I looked, I knew there must be a ship above me. I knew it. It all led me to that conclusion, this whole feeling. So I went, oh, to test the theory, I'd step away. I stepped outside of this clearing area, and I was normal. And then I stepped back in. I was like almost like drunk. And I kept doing that several times. And even walked through the whole length of the clearing feeling giddy the whole time, like I was floating and not floating and going up and down, and my whole body rhythm was weird, and like I was on drugs, and I enjoyed it. Man, this is great. And then I stopped on the other side when I got over, you know, through that. It went away. And that was the whole thing. That's
interesting.
That's the whole thing that happened to me. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very, very interesting. It almost sounds like an experience where your energy field was somehow being affected by something that it was there.
Yeah, or they wanted to show me that they were there and prove it, and they just die again. I never got any explanations for all of this. I've always been wondering about a lot of it, but I tend to take it all with a grain of salt. I know a lot of experiences are happening with a lot of people, and you know, most people don't really have the answers for their experiences. It's just something to kind of file for later, maybe. I don't know.
Now, you also said two things, that you know that there are mentions of extraterrestrials that are not very nice, which actually abduct people, and they do probing and all kinds of things on them. You've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
But you, from what you've said, this was not the case. As a matter of fact, you were able to communicate with them, which they were obviously allowing, because I'm sure they could prevent that from happening if they chose to. They obviously don't communicate with everybody. But just briefly to touch on, I personally, through my own experience with extraterrestrials, I have, mine have not been physical experiences. Mine have been more telepathic and imagery based, or what I call absolute knowledge, which is actually being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and experience what they're experiencing, and get pictures, images, and knowledge at all levels. So it's a pretty powerful way, and I've actually had communication with them, and what this group of people call themselves the Elder Brothers, because they have been in the universe much longer than we have, and they've evolved beyond what our conscious level at this point is, and they call themselves the Older Brothers, and they're basically supposed to be a group of races from various planets. They look different. The ones I have seen were very human-like, but these were all fair skin, mostly red hair or blonde, with very light eyes and very light skin. And they were very, very tall. I would say they would be, my head would probably reach, I'm not a very tall person, I'm 5'3", but my height would reach them right below the chest and above the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how tall they are. And they're, like I said, they're from various planets in our galaxy, and they have different appearances based on the planet. But these are the ones I have seen. And they're from neighboring galaxies in our universe and other universes as well.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I have seen are very advanced beings, approximately 10 feet tall and almost white skinned. Some are blonde and their eyes are blue or green. They have visited our planet numerous times through different methods of travel. They have already reached a higher level of consciousness and possess fifth dimensional awareness. They are here to help us and achieve our awakening, because Terra, the galaxy, and the universe are all interconnected in a way we're all in this together, is what they were trying to tell me. Now, that's the Elder Brothers, which are supposed to be what I call the good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then I call the other ones the Lower Brothers. Now, this is not a name that I was given. This is just a name I made up for the other ones. And these are the races that come from various planets also in our galaxy and neighboring ones. They are advanced technologically and have visited our planet numerous times. Their purpose, however, is to create chaos and fear and thus prevent the ascension of Terra. Their goal is the servitude of humanity as they live among us. and as they, you know, abduct people and perform experiments and things like that. So I wanted to touch briefly on that because from what you talked about, the ones that you saw were a little bit different, but they were humanoid as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. Now, you said you had about 10 experiences or 11. All of this occurred during the time that you were in Texas around that specific lake, but
most
you did
it.
Mention you moved
yeah.
on two occasions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of it occurred at that time in the Houston, Texas area, correct. There were even a time when, you know, Doug and I were visiting my parents, and, well, my brother was inside, and I was walking in, and as soon as I was walking into the place, went through the front door, I had this feeling like I was supposed to grab my brother who was in there and bring him outside and show him proof of a UFO. And I don't know why. Nobody told me that in my head. I had just an overwhelming feeling. I promise you, it's so bizarre. I mean, I know why. I don't even know why I felt that, but I felt it. So I walked over. I walked in the front door, said this to my brother. My mother and father were there. I said, "Hey, I'm going to show you. There's a UFO. There's a new UFO that's going to appear. You got to go outside and see it." He goes, "Huh?" Doug goes, "No, it's probably going to be a balloon." Well. When we finally walk around, and we open the door and we walk out the front door, we're looking out in the sky and there's a balloon. Now, in Houston, you wouldn't believe this. There's a balloon sitting out there, and then there's another object, but it's sitting right above a cloud, right in around a cloud to the right of it, with something on top of it that's oscillating on the top. 45% or 15%, let's say. 50, what am I saying? There's this thing on the top of the ship that's oscillating left to right, and it goes from like the 12 o'clock position to the 3 o'clock, and 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, but it's a circle. It's a circular object, UFO object, with something kind of moving from the 12 o'clock to the 3 o'clock position on the very top of it continuously. So this is what I'm seeing. Doug's seeing it too. Now, to prove that it was a UFO, I guess, it decides, while the balloon's moving down, it's moving up through the cloud, right? So, right? So there's no, like, so it's saying, okay, you think I'm a balloon, are you going to see a balloon? Well, there's a balloon, and here's a UFO, now do you see the difference? That's exactly what happened. And then it shot a little light through the cloud. It's kind of, you could see it descending through the cloud, a little bit of light, so it's moving different directions than the balloon. So it was, I thought one of the neatest things, that was not the strangest, but one of the neatest experiences I'd ever had, because
it sounds like they have a sense of humor, because they were trying to say to Doug, if this is what a balloon does and this is what a spaceship does, can you tell the difference?
Exactly. and folks, this is for everybody. Don't think I'm special. I'm not. I have problems, lots. I'm no goody two-shoes, and I'm no saint. And, you know, again, I do the best I can, but I'm saying this because I personally believe that anybody can communicate. If you're of a mind to, you're of a disposition, and you wish to, then you reach out. And I personally believe 100% of the time if you're diligent, you're awake and aware to notice it, then they're going to take those opportunities to present themselves in bizarre ways. That's just what happened to me. I honestly believe that everybody's going to have those opportunities. Anybody and everybody. If you truly want to know, if you're doubtful, oh, is there UFOs, or maybe there isn't, or is off-worlders helping me, or what's this all about? I want to know. Please know. Send your thoughts out there in a meditation a few times, diligently every night. Because remember, things only meet you halfway. Otherwise, you're not interested. They're not interested. So, yeah, you give a little, you'll get a little. I truly believe that. That seems to be the case. Nothing special there, not at all. I truly don't believe people who are contact this, that, and the other, like I used to, that before that all happened, that you had to be of some special quotient, or you have higher vibration. Oh, I'm not high enough vibration. Am I high enough now? Yeah. So I honestly believe that everybody who is of that desire and that and really wants to reach, I think they will get what they want. It might not be overnight or next week or next year, but it will be.
Well, and the other thing is, too, because of the energy vibration becoming much and much higher, it is so much easier to manifest. And because we are we're going to be transcending very quickly and very soon to the next level of consciousness, where there won't be any separation at that level from these other beings that are also fifth dimensional. I think that's what's happening, that they're wanting to gradually more and more show their presence to more and more people so that people can understand what's going on and understand there's a much bigger picture than what we know.
Sure.
And what we believe. So that's very interesting. But I just find that I'm so glad you shared that last one with us also, because that is, I don't know, I just couldn't help but sit here laughing and just imagining Doug's face as you know, he's looking at this and they're saying, "Oh, really, Doug, this is what a balloon can do, and this is what we can do, see the difference."
They do
so,
those
things. I think
things.
It's wonderful. And I think it's going to be easier for people to communicate now with
sure.
these beings as well.
And they're attentive.
You?
They're paying attention. Folks, there's a lot going on this planet. You got to just know that they're paying attention. Okay. There's a lot of things paying attention on this planet right now. I mean, I remember when those circles were hitting the buildings, and I kept saying, something strange is going to come. Look at all these. There's four now cities that are having these circles on the buildings, and then boom, and we started to see the orbs. Then the orbs started to change, and then it became more and
John,
more.
What circles are you talking about?
Well, the orbs that a lot of people are seeing? Sure. That's a relatively new phenomena as far as photography goes. You know, a lot of the orbs that people see these days? You know what I'm talking about?
I hadn't heard about
orbs.
Yeah, that's why it caught my attention,
yeah,
right?
Well, it's again, like you say, maybe things are changing. We're more in tune or resonating more in tune with different vibrations. I don't know, but I see a lot of things paying attention to us right now, whether they be off-world, maybe between worlds. I mean, I don't know how it all works. I don't really wish I did. I'm enjoying being ignorant. You know, I didn't come here knowing everything. I don't think that's the goal. Everybody says to me, "Oh, I got to know it all and use it all and apply it all." And I think knowledge is a relatively low prerequisite on the scale of things. In other words, hey, when you pass over, you're on your walk between lives, you're probably going to have the ability to grab any information you want, just about. You might, I mean, if you want data or information on something, you'll readily be able to get it. So I don't think information or, let's say, knowledge is key, like everybody says. I don't believe it. I don't think that's the key.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the, we don't have too much time left, but maybe a couple of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a couple of examples, and maybe our audience as well, about orbs that you have seen? Because I was just looking on the internet, and it talks about orbs as energy used by ghosts to manifest themselves, but I don't think that's the kind of orb shit you're referring to.
Sure, grab a camera. Grab a digital camera, folks, flash or no flash. And just do a little meditation. Say, "I want to see some orbs." Start taking a few pictures. You'll have them there. You'll see.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, I have seen those orbs in pictures.
Sure, sure. A lot of things. Yeah.
So,
again, it goes to show that there's energies paying attention. I don't know whether they're good or bad, but it's different. I mean, you can't say in the cowboy days that, you know, they were thinking about orbs or spaceships. So things have definitely changed in this decade, this century. And we're going to see a lot more of it. I think people haven't even begun to see change. I think the real change is coming over the next 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, that's definitely true. In my book, I actually talk about that. And while I cannot name a time frame because that's not been revealed, I know that this is happening very quickly. And as a matter of fact, the other day I was reading some information on the Bible and the Revelation, the 17th Revelation. and it was talking and explaining what's going to be happening, and I was just dumbfounded. I don't necessarily go to Revelations unless it's to confirm something that's been information that's been provided to me. So because I try not to be affected by other people's information. However, once I'm given information, then I'm given proof that there's certain points in common with other people already having, you know, common points with what I'm seeing to help me to understand that what I'm getting is in reality something that is true, not just something that I'm making up. So, yeah. Well, I wanted to thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing this wonderful information, because we're going to be talking more about extraterrestrials. We're going to be talking about the ascension process and obviously the changes on the planet. Have any of your, is there anything else that you, any other point that comes to mind that you would like to share with our audience before we leave?
Well, yeah, I wanted to say to your audience that it has been an absolute pleasure to be here today, and I thank you, Esperanza, for everything you do and everything you're about. You're one of the beautiful people in life, and I love you. So thank you, and thank you for allowing me to share. I appreciate it.
Thank you. See, this is what I'm talking about. These people are just incredible. The BBS radio, they're always very loving, and you feel very welcome in this network. So I'm very grateful for having found it and for being here and you know, being able to talk to wonderful people out there and share the message that's being given. So thank you so much, and I want to wish everybody a wonderful week, and God bless all of you.